up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on this service. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Force is strong with us.
It is indeed. Next, we're going to bring our producer, Gina. Gina, how are you doing this evening?
Great. I'm so excited for probably my last show for a while to enjoy some Star Wars talk.
Yeah, Gina's going to go and like do fun things, and we're going to be here, which is another fun thing. But next, we've got Peter. Pete, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Andor, you got sequel in my prequel.
Sure. Anyway. And last but certainly not least, Steve, help.
There's no hope.
No, there's not. There's really not even old hope, let alone a new.
Oh, come on, Steve. Your billions are built on
hope.
Built on hope.
And yeah, anyway, guys, if you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up. But the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever we've been talking about, Andor season two, we decided we might as well jump right in and do Rogue One, because Andor season two led literally up to him leaving to talk to the guy he talks to at the beginning of Rogue One. Rogue One is all about stealing the plans of the Death Star and getting it to Princess Leia. And that's the story. There's way too many ins and outs and all over the place. So I'm not really going to give a summary, but I'm guessing because it's what, 13 years old at least? Was it 2012?
No, it's nine years old.
It was 2016, right? Yeah. 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you haven't already seen it, watch it, then come back. Kind of like I said. So, my first question this week is, who is the hero of the movie? We've got Andor. We've got Jyn Erso. We've got K2SO, potentially. So who is our hero? Pete, I'm going to start with you.
Oh, it's the pilot, clearly. I don't even know his name, but...
Okay.
Pilot guy. He's the one that...
Bodhi?
Is that it? Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, there's a lot... I guess everybody's a hero. I mean, from a movie structure, Jyn is the hero. But if you think about the person that probably does the most heroic things in a situation, I think Bodhi really, like, because he doesn't have a lot of motivation other than Galen asking him to do this or whatever. I mean, he must have obviously had some, but he worked for the Empire, and then he goes to Saw and he gets tortured for it, but then yet he still keeps helping them. And then in the end, he's the one that gets the radio hooked up and everything. So I'm gonna say he's the big hero in this story. What about you, Steve? Who's your hero?
I'd say there's no one. Like, I was thinking like you, Jyn is for the story part, is supposed to be the hero, but it's all the combination of them, the all just doing their little part to make this all work. Like, if one of them failed, the plans would never have been stolen. So it's a combination of everyone just doing their little part, doing their own sacrifice to make things work. Okay. Hey, what do you think?
Sorry, I was muted. I didn't realize I was muted. I say Jyn. That's her name, right?
Yes.
And partly because one of the biggest, most monumental moments of this movie to me was when Mon Mothra and everybody, it was in this giant circle and they were like, we can't win. Like, we're not going to win this. and nobody believed her. And but she was the linchpin. Like she knew what the hologram said. She, and without her, they wouldn't have known, because the little thingy said Stardust. She, in my opinion, she was the linchpin to all of it. Even though you had to have Saw, whatever his name was, and you had to have Andor, and you had to have K2SO, which was all important. You have no movie without her. So, yeah, that was my answer. What do you think, Gina?
So I agree with Steve that it's nobody. However, Jyn Erso is the catalyst for everything. And that's kind of how I looked at it. Because Andor, he's just in the rebellion to be in the rebellion, like, because that's all he has now is to do this. With K2SO, he's reprogrammed. With the, I forget his name, the blind guy, he's one with the Force is one with me. Hit that guy. He is.
I loved that guy.
He is awesome. Yeah, he is awesome, but he's not the hero because he does one thing. His buddy, I forget that guy's name too. And then she's the catalyst for everything. If that makes sense. So that's kind of my opinion. Derek.
I'm gonna go a different way. I'm gonna tell you who is definitely not the hero of this movie, and it is Andor. Is not the hero of this movie at all.
100% agree.
The only heroic thing he truly does is shoot Krennic. That's the only heroic thing he does. Otherwise, yes, he climbs with Jyn, and yes, he does that. But he's not a good guy. Guys, what about Galen Erso? Yeah. As the hero.
True.
As the one to say, I have done this. And planted this in order to have it, in order for it to be able to destroy it. Yes, Jyn had to go get the plans and such, but without Galen, this thing's terrorizing the community, the galaxy.
I mean, he's a hero, but I don't think I could call him the hero of the movie because he's barely in it.
That's fair. Okay.
And what I will say about Andor is he's the one that went to rescue Jyn. He's the one that got Jyn out of prison. She started the movie, she was in prison.
That's right.
And even though we didn't see him rescue her, we saw K2SO4 rescue her, so we got to assume he was involved.
But he only rescued her in order to try and get to Saw.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the only reason. It's because she was his ticket into Saw Gerrera. So, although...
No, I'm just arguing that he did more than you're saying he did.
Yeah.
But I agree he didn't do...
And...
He didn't do as much as what we saw leading up to this in the
right.
24 yes. episodes of television.
Yeah. Okay. So this movie came out in 2016. This was, I believe... So this came out... Force Awakens had come out, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This was what, the year after Force Awakens, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was the second of the Disney ones.
So, and it has lots of visual effects, it has lots of sound effects, and I'm curious on, do you guys felt the effects help or hurt the movie? And I've got one for me personally that was very distracting just because it did not sound right at all, and that was Darth Vader's voice.
Was it not James Earl Jones?
It's old James Earl Jones.
And it didn't have any forcefulness behind it, didn't have the gravity behind it, and so that's one effect that was just distracting for me, I think.
Yeah, I have to say all the more recent things that he's done before he died had that problem that, yeah, it's Darth Vader's voice, but it sounds like an old man.
It's old Darth Vader. Yeah, it's really old Vader.
When did Revenge of the Sith come out?
2005?
Because then that one at the end, he was okay.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago. Still,
yeah, he was only 70.
Yeah. But that's one effect to me that hurt the movie, because it was just a little distracting for me. Kate, any thoughts on if you thought about it at all?
No, I was trying to pay attention to the music because I know that Star Wars does a lot of theming with their music, and that I thought was done brilliantly. I would say are we comparing this to Andor at all?
You can bring it up. Bring it up. Yeah.
On the effects side?
I will say the effects in Andor blew the effects in this out of the water, because the effects in Andor were so brilliant and the cinematography in it was so brilliant.
So been 9 years.
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But even just the eye for design, not even like the special effects and like the boom, bang, bings. It was just the way the camera shot certain things. But there wasn't, the effects didn't like take away from the experience of Rogue One. It wasn't like She-Hulk where I was like, oh God, the CGI, make it stop. So I just, if you were comparing the two, Andor was better, but Rogue One wasn't bad. So.
Yeah. For me, Grand Moff Tarkin was a brilliant effect. That's brilliant to me.
Oh,
and then Leia wasn't bad. Now that I'm removed from that, it's still there. It's CGI.
It's not great.
It's not great.
Now that I'm removed.
Tarkin.
I didn't find it that noticeable.
The last Tarkin, the You May Fire When Ready, that one was noticeable to me.
Okay. I thought throughout the movie that CGI on top of that actor was so well done. I was like, how long ago did he die? Like, I had to look it up because he'd been gone a long, long time. But the Carrie Fisher one, when I watched it in the theaters, I was like, she had just died like 16 days before it came out. So it was really, it really was jarring. This time I was like, it's not that good. So those are my two effects.
The Carrie Fisher thing at the end really kind of bugs me.
Yeah.
I find that very not well.
That's the one that like you can tell.
You could tell
something in.
It's almost uncanny valley. Like, I would almost rather have them just gotten another actress to do it than what they did, because if it was just another actress, you'd be like, well, okay, that's not Carrie Fisher, but fine. I'm not one that like if they decided tomorrow and they said, okay, we're going to do a Star Wars movie and we're going to recast Luke and Leia and blah, 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 and have these characters again, I'd be like, fine, it's 50 years. We can have a new actor playing this role.
Look at James Bond.
Yeah.
Well, right. But even I feel the same way with Indiana Jones. It's like, make someone else retire. Indiana Jones. And I mean, you got to find someone right, but it's not easy. But watching 85-year-old Harrison Ford do it isn't fun anymore.
Yeah.
And so I would like to see that changeover. But other than that, I thought the effects were mostly pretty good. I really liked the stuff on Scarif, the way they did, like, it was like jungle warfare plus beach warfare plus space battle plus sequence and everything, which was a lot of effects, I thought was really good.
The shield was great. I thought the shield was done really well. It was just that Carrie Fisher one for me.
Yeah, me too. What about you, Steve?
I agree with Gina. It was the Leia that sort of was jolting. But I disagree with her on the shield. I think the shield's the one that bothered me the most.
Oh, funny. Yeah. I like the shield.
Right. I don't know. Druid. It reminded me of like a Marvel movie shield.
I liked it. That's why I liked it, I think. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, open the air.
Yeah.
No. And then, like, Kate, I know it's our next question, but I felt like this was definitely like a Star Wars movie in terms of how it was shot. And Andor is something completely different. So, like, I had sort of, and I know that's one of our questions coming up, but it felt like very much the Star Wars. It leads more into the New Hope, the first one, the feel and how it was shot. And Andor is a completely shot in a different way.
Yeah. Yep.
The one effect shot I thought that was really cool was when they had the Death Star like over the coming over the horizon on the planet.
That was cool.
I thought that was very effective. And then especially like showing Krennic seeing it and basically realizing how screwed he is.
I'm done.
Now, what about the fact that the explosion, the single reactor explosion, looked completely different on Jeddah than it did on Scarif? Because in Jeddah, it's throwing all that stuff up into the air. Versus
the power was less. I just thought they did less power on Jeddah because they were just destroying the city.
Single reactor.
They were very different looking. Yeah.
But it answered my Bail Organa question.
Yes, it did answer my Bail Organa question. Now, when did Leia get? Because all those ships came from Yavin, right?
Yes.
Which means she had to have been on Yavin.
He might have gone home. I think he went home because he said, I trust her with my life. Well,
she also had to have been on Yavin because
3PO and R2,
3PO and R2-D2 were on Yavin. Yeah. And we don't see him in this movie, but in the next movie, they're on that ship. So.
And she gets R2.
You see him in this movie.
Yeah, well, we see him on Yavin in this movie. We don't see him on the ship.
We see him on Yavin as everyone's taking off.
Yeah.
Right.
But shouldn't they have been on the ship that was also taking off?
Well, I'll allow that in that ship hadn't taken off yet.
Okay.
So sure. I'm allowing
that's
that
the last
to say,
one. Yeah. That was the last one to get Leia because you had to give Leia the plan. They had to give Leia the whole plan, what you're going to do. Yeah.
Okay. So we've kind of touched on a little bit. We have this again came out in 2016. Then we have had two seasons of Andor since then. And thinking back to, is this the first time anyone has watched this?
No.
Okay.
First time, no.
Yeah.
I watched it at home a few times before, I watched it in the theater and at home.
I saw it in theaters.
We saw it in theaters too, and it's on TBS or TNT all the time.
Yeah.
So, almost as much as Shawshank Redemption used to be. But
great movie.
Did the seasons of Andor help or hurt this movie? And I'm actually going to go the other way, too. Did this movie help or hurt Andor? So, Pete, you kind of brought this up with our crew, so I'm going to let you take the lead on this one.
So, I think Andor was so good that it pointed out the flaws of this movie, which is that...
The inconsistency.
There's no characters in that. Like, we don't know anything about any of the people in this movie. I mean, now we know about Andor because we watched this TV show. But if you just watched what Andor was in this show, he's nothing. Like, what did we learn about Andor from this movie? He's barely a character in this movie. And the same thing, almost nobody in this movie. I mean, you know, we get a little bit of Jyn. Some of her story, right? We find out about her as a kid and everything like that. But other than that, Saw, we don't know anything about from this movie. You know, the two guys they pick up, same thing. They're guarding the Jedi Temple, I guess, kind of, but then they just come along. You know, I'm not saying I don't like this movie. It's a very good movie, but watching this movie, I was like, oh, Andor's really good because this is not as good as Andor. And this is a good movie. It's a good movie. This is a good action movie, right? It's a good Star Wars action movie. But in terms of like character or plot, I mean, you even said at the beginning, Derek, what's this movie? Oh, they got to steal the Death Star plans. That's the plot. It's one sentence, right? So I think watching this, what?
I just want to just tag on to what you said, because you basically said what I was going to say. I want to know why they picked Andor to make Andor. Why did they choose that character?
I've not been watching Andor for the last...
No, I have. But like, why did they pick Cassian Andor and not Jyn and not follow Jyn's story or not follow Saw's story? Like, why? Because Pete's right. Yeah, he's in the movie, but he's not the central main character. And so I just wanted to piggyback really quick off of that, because that was my biggest thing, was like, I'm very curious when they sat down to say, we're going to make a prequel to Rogue One, and this is Endgame, the end of it. Because I feel like this is how they sat, was the end game of Rogue One is Leia getting those plans. That's the whole thing. Why did they pick Andor out of anyone? Why didn't they pick the dad, Jin's dad?
Like, because he's just working in the factory. Because he's just working in the factory making the build the Death Star.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right though. Why pick that character? I think that
everyone else is too radical.
I think they felt he was he could be an interesting character. Because what we get out of this movie is he's a ruthless guy and he'll do whatever it takes to help the rebellion. But how did he get there?
Bad as Saw, because Saw only cares about the rebellion also, but he's so radical they couldn't do a Saw Gerrera movie or a show because just killing everybody.
Stop Marvel.
Yeah. Star Wars isn't the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question though, Kate. I mean, why choose that character in particular? Again, I think it was just the entry into, we want to tell a story of the formation of the rebellion. Mm-hmm. And we have this character in this movie that was at the point of this movie is central to the rebellion, though we'd never seen him in any of the other movies because he's dead. But
and remind me, is this like a Marvel thing where there was like comics written about what happened?
No.
There were books, but they were different.
They were not canon at all.
And yeah, okay. Video games.
Yeah, there was a bunch of books written before Disney took over, yeah. And then Disney tossed them for the most part.
Steve, I didn't mean to skip you. I just wanted to, because that's all I had to say.
How I look at it is Andor is a guy who could care less about the rebellion. He was doing his own thing, and he's the one who was brought in like gung-ho. He bought it all in. Like, boy, Jen has been part of it in some way. Saw has been in it part of it some way. So it's this ordinary person who, through life experience, has decided to give it his all, like committed his life. Sort of like the everyday man, in a sense.
For me, going back, when this movie first came out, I was not a huge fan of this movie because all I had seen was the two Star Wars movies. That's all of Star Wars I had seen. I had not seen any of the outside stuff. So when they came in with all these outside characters, I didn't like it as well because it wasn't the story I knew. Going back and watching it, it has definitely grown on me. And I almost am of the other side of, this showed me that you can tell a good story without it having to take 24 hours.
Yeah.
True.
Or four, Marvel. so you can tell a complete story. We knew enough about Jen. All we needed to really know was that Andor was a ruthless guy with the rebellion. Saw was a lead. I mean, we knew enough to get the entire story and to get enough of the character development to tell the entire story.
And it's the difference between a movie and a TV show, right? I mean, movies have to tell, generally, a simpler story because they have 2 hours to do it. And a TV show should tell you a more complex story, a more character-driven story. And it's one of the things we kind of complain about Star Wars and Marvel as well, in terms of TV shows, that they just feel like long movies because they don't, you know, maybe they have a little more character development, but they're so focused on the
explosion.
Being spectacles still that they just feel like long movies and often feel like they're overlong. Well, they're overlong as movies, but they're not quality enough to be television because they're not of that quality. And Andor, again, like I keep thinking about the show and like, not that I would rate it higher than I already did, but it's like there's so much in this show that's just really, really strong writing and strong acting. And yeah, it's slow at times, but like the slow actually helps in many ways. And again, I'm not saying this is a bad movie, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm going to rate this movie poorly because of Andor, but Andor is better, in my opinion.
Yeah, the only thing I want to add is these both can stand alone. That's the thought I had when I was looking at this question. Andor can stand alone as a series, and you don't have to know that much about Star Wars to know this is a good show. Then this movie, you have to know a little bit about Star Wars for this to be a good movie, only because who cares about the plans if you don't care about Star Wars? But it can stand alone as a movie. It doesn't, you have to know a little bit.
But it feels like the way they set up the end of Andor, that this is almost mandatory viewing.
Right. But Andor could stand alone is what I'm saying. And then, you're like, oh, I could go and watch this movie. But you'd have to know, to watch this movie, you have to know something. So that was it. Yeah. You'd have to know about Star Wars, or you have to know about New Hope. You have to know something. Anyway. That was the only thing I wanted to add.
Okay. And then speaking of A New Hope, is this the best of the prequels? And because you've got episodes 1, 2, and 3. Now it's and let's go full into this. Let's count Clone Wars. Let's count Rogue Squadron. Let's count Bad Batch. Let's count Rebels. Let's count everything that is supposed to have occurred before they arrive at Tatooine.
Oh, that's hard. For the movies, this is the best movie.
Yes.
I will say that.
I'm going to go with Gina. For movies, this is the best movie. If you're bringing in everything, I'll go with Rebels.
Rebels is the best, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
Rebels is really good.
Yeah. Steve and I are same.
Yeah. Now you brought in the Rebels, and yeah, it's Rebels.
It's Rebels. Rebels is the best.
This is my favorite of all of them, but I haven't watched Rebels, so.
Yeah, I am not
watching. Watch Rebels. You'll like it.
It fits right in. It fits right into this.
And it's even though I hated Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah. Rebels is way faster, and it's just, you know,
Kate, I've said it before. I hated Clone Wars.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
I liked it.
As I said, there's a few episodes. There's a couple episodes of Clone Wars I watched and was like, wow, this is great. And then they'd go off on some tangent.
Oh, yeah.
Irrelevant tangent for five episodes. I'd be like, oh, my God, this is so boring.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 80% of Clone Wars is junk.
Okay. I feel like,
in my opinion. But,
guys, but other thoughts? Other thoughts on the movie? One thing I noticed that I don't know why I noticed it, but I noticed it. So they put the name of every planet up there except Mustafar.
Oh, they didn't? No, I didn't.
That's funny. I wonder why they didn't.
I don't know.
You just know that's what it is.
Apparently they assumed people would know what it was because it was in Revenge of the Sith. But that's the one that that's just one thing I noticed is every other planet was labeled.
Go ahead.
My thoughts was, I was surprised how much Darth Vader was in this movie. I didn't remember how much he showed up and he showed up again. And I went, I thought there was only like one or two scenes. So it's sort of,
Oh, and you could tell the jokes they went back and put in.
Yeah.
Because they weren't that funny.
Yeah. That's okay.
Because they did go and they basically, Disney said, yeah, great, cool. We need this to be more of it needs to be funnier, was literally what they said. So they went back and added some of the jokes in and that just didn't work.
No, I agree. But the Darth Vader part I wanted to say, the extra part was, we finally get to see him using the Force and like, kicking booty. Like, that's the best part for me, is finally seeing him, because this is great Sith. He's this fabulous person. You never see it. That's the only time you get to see him really show his stuff.
Did anyone, either this time or any other time, go right into New Hope?
I did before. No, yes. I have before.
Yeah. Actually, no. Yes, I have. When I watched, when I watched all of them in chronological order.
Because I started watching New Hope, and it's interesting because they do a pretty good job of it feeling like it's going right into New Hope. Except that, like, after Darth Vader does that crazy stuff at the end of this movie, then in that movie, he's just kind of tromping around going, so-and-so.
Then I think he had a stroke or something. I don't know. He just got really old.
And then they also, like, they have a big meeting, and they're like, this Death Star is not yet operational. And I'm like, oh, pretty sure it is.
Or it's not fully, it may not be fully operational. Right. They have not done a full power test of it
yet. That's true. They only tested it twice.
Yeah.
So. Okay. I'm
trying to think of anyways.
As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for everything we watch, series, movies, everything. Cups of pixie dust out of 5, 4, Rogue One, Kate.
I'm going to give it a 3. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again. Actually, I'm going to give it a 3.5. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again. I didn't get crazy, crazy confused. But did I not get crazy, crazy confused? Because I watched Andor.
Probably
helped. The world may never know. Yeah. So I'm going to give it a 3.5. I really enjoyed it. Gina?
This is another 4. This movie is so good. 5 is obviously Empire Strikes Back. So nothing is as good as Empire. So this is a 4.
I'm giving this a 3.5. I might have given it a 4 before I had seen Andor, but I'm giving it a 3.5. So I'm with Kate.
I'm with Pete and Kate. 3.5. I think when originally I saw it, I loved it. I want to give it a 4. But after this rewatch and how good Andor was, I'm going down to 3.5.
And if I could give it a split rating before and after the start of the Battle of Scarif, it would be 2 totally different ratings.
Oh, because
beginning of the Battle of Scarif on would be a higher rating than before the Battle of Scarif.
But I agree that that makes the movie for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with 3 just because it's a little bit better. I actually like this a little bit better than Andor. But it's not good enough to hit my 3.5 ratings. So, I mean, it's good.
Strong, it's solid.
When it's on, it will depend on if they are at the Battle of Scarif yet or not, to be perfectly honest, if I stick with it. So, no Disney Plus news this week.
What?
Okay. But, so, next week, you got to remember a couple months ago, we watched Walt and El Grupo. About Walt's trip with his animators and everybody down to South America to create the movies Saludos Amigos and Three Caballeros. Next week, we are watching Saludos Amigos and Three Caballeros. And the reason we're watching both of them is both of them are less than an hour. So we're actually...
They say they are birds of a feather.
Yes. Anyway. So, yeah. Save the jokes for next week, because trust me, there's going to be a lot of them next week. So, but that's going to be next week. I know that the Captain America Brave New World is coming out this week. We're going to wait a couple weeks on that, to be perfectly honest, to decide if anyone on here likes it enough to actually review it.
I don't know if you guys should watch it. Because I didn't hate it. That's my only review.
Yeah, not hate.
You and I have the glowing review.
Yeah.
So, but guys, if you have suggestions or think we really should watch it, please send us an email at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere that you know you can get a hold of us. We have new episodes coming out every week on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Gina, Pete, and Steve, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
May the force be with you.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.